Rabbi Avraham, I see you're back in your place.
Place has been vacated.
All that's been restored. Okay, says the Gemara.
All the Svarim are gone.
What?
All the Svarim are gone.
I can bring them back. I can bring them back.
Omar Rava, Zok, the Heiliger Gemara. Omar Rava. First word on the line was Meo. The 10th word line. Omar Rava. We started this yesterday. We'll try and finish it Be'ezus Hashem today. Ki achlinon rifto bei resh kalusa. When we, who's we? Presumably the Talmidim, the Talmidei Chachamim. When we ate in the house, when we ate bread, rifta is bread. When we ate in the house of the resh kalusa, mevarchinon gimel gimel. Remember, we began this yesterday. For some reason that we do not understand at this point, as she says, the Gemara will soon discuss it. They split themselves up. That's what he was testifying. He says, we used to eat and split ourselves up into groups of three and do zimun quietly to each other. But then we didn't bench and go home. That was the strange thing. Look immediately at Rashi again. Mevorchinon tlosa tlosa. Reish galusa marich besudosei. The problem was that the Reish galusa was marich on his sudin, took a long time to finish. Va'anan, Rava says that we, kol gimel v'gimel, every group of three, shegomru seudoson, comma, each three that finished their seuda, mezamnin b'koil nomuch, would do a zimun in a low tone. V'yoishvin achar habrocha, and would then wait after the brocha, presumably that means after the brocha of the zimun. Ad shegomar reish galusa, until the reish galusa finally finished his meal. V'yezamnu hu v'hayoishvin etzloi b'koil rom. And at that point, the Reish Galusa did a zimun in a loud voice together with those who were sitting with him. So this, at this stage of the Gemara, seems to be rather peculiar. Very, very strange.
What were they doing? Well, he benched.
Right.
Were they just sitting on their hands? What were they doing?
That's what the Gemara says. Look at the last line of Rashi. Well, come on, Porich. And later on, the Gemara will ask, the neifku, meaning let them be yoitse, bebracha deresh galusa. We're using the word bracha over here to mean zimun. If you would tell me that they were in a rush to go home, and they did zimun with three, and then they left and went home, so I understand.
Right.
But it doesn't say that. It says they did zimun, then they waited to bench until the resh galusa finally finished his meal. The Reish Galusa did Zimun with the people surrounding him, and then everybody joined into benching. So Rashi immediately pops up and says, well, the obvious question is, and the Gemara is going to ask this, so why didn't they just incorporate themselves in the Reish Galusa Zimun? What was the big rush to do a Zimun themselves if they didn't immediately bench? So again, one of these classic Rashis, that if Rashi says it'll come on Parech, he means, he knows you're going to have this question, and it's a correct question. And Rashi has to point it out, because otherwise the Gemara is simply not understandable al derech hapshat. So let's go back into the Gemara. So again, Omar Rava ki achlinon rifta beresh galusa. When we ate bread with a resh galusa, mevarchinon gimel gimel. We used to bench. Bench means we did zimun, not the whole Birkas HaMazon. We used to do zimun in groups of threes. That's the end of the story. Says the Gemara, one moment. Velivrechu yud yud. Why didn't they split themselves up? L'chayr would be better to split themselves up into groups of 10, not into groups of three. If you split up into groups of 10, well, that way you can say, the Shem Hashem, Nevarech Elokeinu. Wouldn't that be preferable? Wouldn't that be preferable?
And what did they do at Achashverosh's feast, by the way?
Achashverosh, what did they do? Zimun there? I have no idea. No idea. They certainly did not wait for Achashverosh to bench.
I imagine not.
You know, somebody came to Reb Chaim Kanievsky recently. This is a very well-documented story. And said he had a question because he had a name and it wasn't a very well-known name. And he wasn't sure whether it's really considered a name. And as everybody knows, Reb Chaim Kanievsky has big shitters on what's considered a name, etc. So he wanted to suggest maybe he should change his name. So he came to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and said, should I change my name? Or maybe the children are, should their father change him? I don't remember. It was about somebody, should he change the name? And Reb Chaim says, yeah, it can do. So they asked Reb Chaim, well, what name should they change it to? So he said, maybe Achashverosh. So they were completely taken aback. Well known, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, by the way, has a terrific sense of humor, but they did not expect this, even in Chodesh Adar. So they said to Reb Chaim, what? Achashverosh? So he said, could they like that? It could do a Nebuchadnezzar. And they didn't understand what was going on. They got back home, and upon inquiries, it turned out that this person was actually not Jewish.
Whoa.
Somebody who for all his life thought he was Jewish, and they researched it, turned out his mother was not Jewish. And that's what Reb Chaim was saying. So Mercedes, you could be called Achashverosh, Nebuchadnezzar, makes no difference. How Reb Chaim knew, I have no idea.
Wow. Because I'm hearing stories that he's not really alert or with it.
I think he is perfectly with it, Baruch Hashem. Somebody came recently to him, Kiyodua, there is quite a popular name, if you can call it that, a girl's name called Shira. A lot of girls are called Shira, but Reb Chaim Kanievsky does not like that name. He holds it's not a name. So apparently somebody came to him and said to Reb Chaim, he has a daughter, and of course, what's her name? And he said to Reb Chaim, she's called Shira. So Reb Chaim says, why? Why did you call her Shira? So he said, because she was born on Shabbos Shira. So Reb Chaim said, well, what would you have done had she been born on Shabbos Parah?
Ooh.
Ooh. I couldn't get a hold of that name. Okay, back to our subject.
So he had to choose an utter name.
Yeah. So v'livrachu yud yud. So instead of splitting themselves up into three, again, we don't understand why they split themselves up at all yet. That we'll see later on in the Gemara. But that's not the Gemara's question at this time. The Gemara at the moment is asking, even if they are going to split themselves up, why into three? Surely it would be better to split themselves up into groups of 10, and that way you could say the Shem Hashem. That way you could say the Shem Hashem. Says the Gemara, no. Shoma Reish Gelusa V'ikpid. Because if they would split themselves up into 10, obviously they would have to do it in a loud tone. Rashi pointed out already that when they split themselves up into threes, they did so in a low voice. If they would do so in tens, they would have to do so loudly, and then the Reish Gelusa would be makpid, you'd be upset, you would notice. Says Rashi. You know what? Before we see Rashi, let's continue with the Gemara. We'll see, because Rashi will explain everything for us. So they did not want to split up into 10. So again, we don't know why they split themselves up at all. But once they did, they wanted to do so as low profile as possible, and that was in groups of threes in a low tone. Now comes the question of the Gemara that Rashi referred us to. Says the Gemara, first word on the line, V'nefku, why can't they be yoitza, b'birkasa deresh galusa, ? Again, the birkasa means with the benching, with a zimun. Why can they simply not wait for the Zimun of the Reish Galusa? As we pointed out before, they anyway didn't go home straight away. They all waited around until the Reish Galusa's benching. Well, if that's the case, why couldn't they just be incorporated in his Zimun and do one communal en masse Zimun? Says the Gemara, no. It was a technical problem. Aidi, says the Gemara, since the Avshu, I think the Avshu means there was a big crowd, there's a lot of people.
Kule Alma. Here they translate as it was noisy. The crowd there at Reish Galusa's table was noisy.
I was noisy.
Yeah.
Is Kule Alma Loi Shami. Therefore, all of them would not be able to hear. So it was not a halachic thing. It was a purely technical point. Because there was so much commotion going on in the Reish Galusa, hundreds of people there, presumably Talmidim, Talmidei Chachamim going in and out. So to rely on the Reish Galusa's Zimun was too risky, because it was unlikely that everybody there in his dining parlor, in his banquet hall, it was unlikely that everybody would be able to hear the Zimun, and therefore they were worried. So in order to be Yotze the Chiv of Zimun, that's why they split themselves up. Why did they split themselves up into groups of three and not into groups of 10, as we just said? Because 10 would have been a more high-profile Zimun, and the Reish Galusa maybe would be Makbid. Says the Gemara, we're going to keep on going, because we really need to get to the end of the Gemara in order to understand the Rashi. Omar Rabba. Rabbi Tosfa, that was his name. Rabbi Tosfa said the following. Hani Gimel, three people, the Karchi Rifta, were eating bread together, Bohodi Hadodi, all together, the Kodim Chad Minayhu, and one of them preempted the others, Uborich Ledaite, and benched on his own volition without Zimun. So you've got three people, and one of them decides that's it, he's got no more patience, and he benches. Okay. Now, the other two are about to bench, and he's still here. So they can do Zimun, they can incorporate him. However, Inun Nofkin Bezimun Didei. They, the two of them, will be Yotze with his Zimun, meaning by incorporating him, they are considered to have a group of three. Remember, he's benched, they have not. They will say Rabbi Sainavorech, and he will respond. They are considered to have Zimun. They can rely on him. However, Ihu Loi Nofik Bezimun Didhu. But he will not be Yotze with their Zimun. So they can incorporate him and they will have the mitzvah of Zimun. But he will not have the mitzvah of Zimun. Meaning, how would, in theory, how could one suggest that he has the mitzvah of Zimun? I mean, after all, he's benched already. And the answer would be perhaps retroactively will bring back his benching and consider ki'ilu that his benching goes together with theirs. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, lefi she'ein zimun lemafreya. There is no retroactive zimun. If you benched at the time without zimun, then that benching cannot now be reinvigorated, as it were, reincarnated to be considered to have joined forces with their benching. No, if you bench without Zimun, then I'm sorry, you opted out. So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Reuven benched first. Shimon and Levi have the mitzvah of Zimun because they incorporated Reuven. But Reuven cannot join forces with Shimon and Levi. In other words, Reuven will not get the schar of Zimun.
And what would motivate him to join with them?
Right, that's exactly what the Gemara is pointing out. Therefore, the Gemara is pointing out, you have no incentive to preempt them and hope that, well, afterwards you'll join with them, because you can't, because ein zimun l'mafreya. So you might as well wait. Now go back to the Rashi. Shoma Reish Galusa. Shoma Reish Galusa. Remember, this was the answer to the question of if they were going to split themselves up for technical reason, because it was too noisy to hear everybody. So why didn't they just split themselves up into groups of 10? That's better than three, because then they can say the name of Hashem. To which the answer was no, because then the Reish Galusa would be makpid. Says Rashi, Shoma Reish Galusa im hayu mezamnin yud yud. If they would be mezamnin groups of 10, then hayu tzorich hamavorech lahagbia koiloi. Then the Mavorich would have to raise his voice. He couldn't just whisper to the two people next to him, because it's a whole party of 10. The Yishma Reish Galusa. And then the Reish Galusa would have heard the Yechara Loi. And you'd be angry. Why would he be upset? She'onu Oisin Chabura. Because we are making a group La'atzmeinu for ourselves, but for Hesia in public. Why are we splitting ourselves off? Why are we factioning off from the remainder of the people in the hall there? And the Reish Galusa will be upset. And therefore, we had to do everything in very low profile. Now, remember that what they're doing is, by doing a Zimun of three people, they're not being allowed to say the Shem Hashem, obviously. Now, what's going to happen afterwards when the Reish Galusa finally finishes his meal and he will do Zimun and he will say the Shem Hashem? And everybody will respond. So this group of three who have already benched, will they now get the mitzvah of Zimun Ba'asara? So according to what we've just learned now, they won't have the mitzvah because ein zimun l'mafreya. So they've already done zimun and they've already benched, but then they waited. They didn't want to storm out the hall. Obviously, then the Reish Galusa would be even more upset. So as it were, they played along. How do they play along? They did their own private little zimun, but they all waited. The Reish Galusa at the end did a grand public communal benching, to which they responded. But according to what we've just learned at the end of the Gemara, and that's why we wanted to see the Gemara first, you see quite clearly in the Gemara that ein zimun l'mafreya. And if ein zimun l'mafreya, so even though this group of three are going to listen to the zimun of the Reish Galusa, but they will not get the mitzvah of zimun ba'asara. Look in Rashi now. Afal gav the mafki nafshayu, even though they are taking themselves out, midei zimun shel hazkaras Hashem, by forming themselves into small groups, it was a bit of a risk. Why was it a risk, or at least a disadvantage? Because this way you are not getting zimun of 10, so you're missing out on that of the zimun of saying the Shem Hashem. So what will you say? No, we're not missing out because we can always hear it later. Says Rashi, no, that's not good enough. V'chi, and when hodar mezamein reish galusa b'hazkoras Hashem, comma, when the reish galusa went afterwards and he did a public zimun of nevorech Elokeinu, Lav inu nafki bay. They will not be able to be yotze the zimun of 10 with him. Why not? Kada oma rabo toisfo. As rabo toisfo said, the ein zimun lemafreya. Now, press pause for a moment. Rashi is explaining, therefore, the quandary that they found themselves in. The Talmidim there were in a bit of a pickle. Why were they in a pickle? Because if we wait for the Reish Galusa's Zimun, it's so noisy, it'd be difficult to confidently say we can hear what's going on. That's what the Gemara says. There was Avshu. Avshu means there was a big commotion. So we can't rely on hearing the Zimun of the Reish Galusa. It'd be too noisy. So we have to go and say our own Zimun. Okay. Which type of Zimun are you going to do? So we've got two choices. Either we'll split ourselves up into groups of three or into groups of 10. Now, obviously, it would have been preferable to split themselves up into group of 10 because then they're not losing the Elohim. But that was the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, yeah, but if they would have done groups of 10, then the Reish Galusa would have noticed and would get upset. So what did they do instead? They went for small groups. And that's why Rashi's pointing out that by going for small groups, they were losing out big time. Why would
they lose out? Because they wouldn't be able to have heard.
Oh, that's going to be the answer. Yeah. So they were losing out because on the one hand, they were not doing Zimun Ba'asara. And on the other hand, when the Reish Galusa finally would do so, but Ein Zimun L'mafreya. So in the final analysis, they have totally lost out on the Nevarich Elokeinu. So why were they doing it? Now look back at Rashi. That's why Rashi says, but they had no choice. Afilu hochi, nonetheless, nicha lehu bahochi. Nonetheless, this choice, as bedieved as it sounds, was their preferred choice. Why? Because they didn't have any other choice. Mishum the avshi, because you had this large noise going on. Kula alma, everybody shahayushom msubin rabim, several people eating there. Ve'ein koil hamavorech nishma, and the koil of the one benching would not clearly be heard. So I think we all see now why we had to get to the end of the Gemara in order to fully appreciate this Rashi. Rashi is telling us that once you get to the end of the Gemara and you see that there's a principle called Ein Zimun L'mafreya, well, now we appreciate more the conundrum they found themselves in. If you would say, Yesh Zimun L'mafreya, so they've got nothing to lose. Do Zimun now. And when the Reish Galusa benches, if you're lucky enough to be able to hear him and you're part of 10, then you get that mitzvah. So I've got nothing to lose. Says Rashi, but I do have everything to lose. Why? Because I won't be Yotze. Ein Zimun L'mafreya. So why did they do it? The answer is because it was too risky to rely on the Reish Galusa's benching because it was too noisy. And therefore, they really didn't have any choice. You see, Meirav Raboisai, a very, very important principle over here. I just want to look at one thing.
Why does the Gemara have to tell us that the Reish Galusa would have gotten angry?
Because if not, then we don't understand. Why did they not just form themselves into a group of 10 and then they get the Asara?
I mean, wouldn't the Reish Galusa have known that perhaps not everybody in this big hall could hear him? And
that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. I had that question as well. Why would the Reish Galusa be upset with them? Why would he not understand that the reason why they're doing Zimun is not because they want to segregate themselves, they're just worried they won't be able to hear. I'm not sure. But either way, I just want to point out that you see in this Gemara a very, very important principle, and this presents a famous halachic question. What did they do? They, at the end of the day, split themselves up into a group of three. And what did the Gemara ask? Why did they do groups of three? Why didn't they do 10? That was the Gemara's question. So I see from that question, and the Gemara's answer was whatever, for a technicality they couldn't. So I see from that question that it's not l'chatchila to do a zimun of three if you can do 10. And this is very, very, very negeah, the famous question, and really it's a double question. What do you do when you're at a wedding? Now, really, there is a question that precedes our question, which has nothing to do with what we're learning. Because when you are at a chasana and you're part of the suda, then we have a different shaila completely. L'choira, you are chayiv in sheva brachos, which has nothing to do with zimun. And simply to bench and say, I've had enough, I want to go home, the music's too loud, well then, you're not being yetzer the sheva brachos.
I heard from Rav Bess in Los Angeles that if a person doesn't have in mind when he washes for that seuda, not to stay for sheva brachos, then he's chayav to stay.
Correct. So therefore, if you know from the outset, this is, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about it and others, and this is the commonly accepted tshuva. If you know from the outset that you're probably going to leave early, you're not planning on staying till the end, then you should have intention when you wash that I am not becoming a part of this general sudas chasana. It's a big chiddush, by the way, that that works, because you might have argued that, what do you mean you're not part of the sudas chasana? You are. You're there in the hall eating with everybody else, the chasana and kala. But that's the chiddush. It works. So that only resolves the first question, which, as I mentioned, has nothing to do with our sugya. That's a shayla in Hilchos Sheva Brachos. Once you've got past that, this is now the very, very common shayla. You're sitting around the table with your friends, and it happens to be that all of your friends actually are not planning to stay till the bitter end. You're all planning on leaving early. So what do you want to do? You want to form a zimun. According to what we've just learned now, don't just turn around to the person on the right and the person on the left and say, let's do a zimun. That's not lechatchila. Lechatchila is you should find 10 people, do nevorech eloikeinu, and then that way, providing that you had intention at the beginning of the suda not to be mitztarif with the suda, so then you've avoided the chiyuv of sheva brachas, you've said nevorech eloikeinu, wonderful, all the milers in the world. This is a very, very, very important halacha. Because I've definitely seen people not do this.
Except be careful not to do it too loud in order to embarrass the chassid. Yeah.
Don't do it too loud because the Reish
Galusa is listening.
The Reish Galusa, yeah.
Plus, you have everyone sitting at different tables. So it may be more awkward to try and incorporate people at a different table.
Right.
Yeah, in your zimun of 10.
I'm just looking for a second in a Shulchan Aruch. Have a look, just briefly, open a Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Tzadi Dalet 194. I know we're strictly running out of time.
Kuf Tzadi Dalet
194, Kuf Tzadi Dalet. By the way, you do see another chiddush, which is, I think you're 100% right in pointing out, it's not a joke at all. When you say that the Baal Simcha will be upset, you're 100% right, because let's go back to our story. The Gemara asked a question, why are they doing Zimun in groups of three? Surely they should do it in groups of 10. So we said, oh, you see from the cash of the Gemara that it's lechatchila to do it in 10, not to rely on threes. Okay, that's true. But let's not forget that the Gemara also gave a teretz. What was the Gemara's teretz? Yes, the Reish Galusa, they didn't want to upset him. So I see from this Gemara that, yes, on the one hand, it's not lachatchila to do groups of three if I could do 10. But on the other hand, if the Reish Galusa will be makbid, that is enough of a justification. That is enough of a justification. So for maybe you're quite right. Maybe if in the Chasna Hall, if you're going to start making large groups of 10 people for Zimun and the Baal Simcha will be upset, then maybe it would be justified to do groups of three. Have a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Tzadi Dalet Sif Aleph. In my edition, it's on page 196. It's the very first sif we're going to have a look at briefly. Shleisha She'ochlu Ke'echod, three people eating together. V'shochachu, and they forgot that there's a chi of Zimun. U'bireich kol echod la'atzmoy, well, it's too late. Everybody benched, and after benching, they said, one moment, why did we just do that? We should have done a Zimun. It's too late. Botel mehem azimun, the Zimun has just been abolished, disbanded. V'ein yecholim lachzor ulezamein lemafreya. They can't now say, well, let's do Nevorech Elokeinu, and that will work in retrospect, going backwards to the benching that we just did. No, it's too late. V'chein im birchu shnayim mehem. The same would be if two of them have benched, and then all of a sudden they realize, oh, what a shame. We could have and should have done Zimun, it's too late. Avol, im shochach echod mehem ubireich. But if one of them benched, now this is Mamish the Gemara that we just learned. If one of them benched, not two, if one of them benched, then hashnayim yecholim lezamein im hashlishi. Afal pishekva ubireich, very big chidush, even though he's already benched, he's after the fact. Yochel loymar baruch shochalnu mishaloi veheim yoytzim yidei chayv azimun. And they, on the one hand, will be yoytzim the chayv of zimun. Vehu eino yoytzim zimun. Why? She'ein zimun lemafreya. So this is very, very important. Now, the Ramah concludes with a very, very fascinating halacha. The im ho echod zimein im achirim. What happens if that one person, you had Reuven, Shimon, and Levi eating together? Reuven's in a rush to go, so he did Zimun, but not with Shimon and Levi. Reuven did Zimun with he found the Yehuda and the Yisachar. Turns out they were also there. So the three of them did Zimun. Now Shimon and Levi want a bench, and who's sitting with them? Reuven. Reuven's out the picture. Af shnayim hanish orim, the two people remaining behind, enom yecholim lezamein, they cannot do zimun. You cannot incorporate somebody who is not only benched, but has also done zimun. So again, if you want to incorporate somebody who has benched, but he hasn't done zimun, then you can incorporate for your benefit. It's not for his benefit because ein zimun lemafreya. But at least you will have a Zimun. But if that particular individual has not only benched, but he's done Zimun as well, well, that's it. He packs his bags and he goes home. You've got nothing to do with him, and there's no purpose and no Indian, and you cannot do Zimun with him. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we have to stop over here. Mitz Hashem, we'll carry on tomorrow. And I wish everybody a very good Chodesh, Mitz Hashem.
Chodesh.
Chodesh. Chodesh.